and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." As I've indicated from time to time, the process of planning chapel, God just does some wonderful things. And one of them was that somewhere in June, Miracle Reed, who I'd had in class last semester, emailed me and said, "I just have this burden to speak in chapel." I said, "Well, we're talking about respectable sins," and she picked one. And so we're looking forward. Miracle is a senior, and is it in January you moved to St. Croix?
December.
Somebody has to go to St. Croix in January, but God's called you there to minister. Please welcome Miracle Reed.
Amen. Being that you all just clapped, but can we give a hand clap for God, how great and awesome he is? I think you all can do a little bit better than that. If that was for me, that would be okay. But I say, can we give a hand clap for God on this morning? Amen, 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 amen. Well, it's truly a blessing and an honor to stand before you today. I don't take it for granted, and I definitely don't take it lightly, but I believe that God has given me something to share with you all concerning thankfulness, concerning the fact of how many times we're not thankful for the things that God's given us. So without any further ado, I'm going to go right into the word that I have for you all today. And I'm even praying in advance that God will bless you. I'm praying in advance that even though I know that many of you are celebrating the fact that today is the 10th chapel. So, you know, the attendance may be a little bit more smaller next week and for the rest of the semester. But I'm praying that for those that planned on this being their last chapel, that hopefully you'll leave out of here today with something that will motivate you and encourage you to come back on next week. All right? Amen, amen. So we went to the word, but we're going to go there one more time for Luke chapter 17. I want to focus your attention mostly on verse 17. I have a few other scripture verses that I'm going to have you all go to today. But for the beginning, we're going to, you know, start in verse 17 of Luke, the 17th chapter. As Dean Smith has already said, that throughout this week throughout this semester, we've been talking about respectable sins and how we're supposed to become more like Christ. And I picked unthankfulness for the main reason of how many times we become so used to God doing great and awesome things for us that we very seldom forget to say thank you, or we very seldom say thank you at all. And the reason why I titled it, "Are You Forgetting Something?" is because I remember when I was a little girl and my grandmother used to say to me, you know, "Now when someone does something for you, make sure you say thank you." And when someone would do something I would forget, she would always say, "Are you forgetting something?" Which basically meant to say thank you. And the reason why I bring that into the title for today is because I believe that many times God is looking at our lives saying, "Look at all the blessings that I've given you. Look at all the opportunities that I've bestowed upon you. Look at all the open doors, but you're forgetting something." And that thing that we're forgetting is to have a heart of thankfulness, a heart of gratefulness, a heart to be, you know, thankful for the things that God's done for us. So let's take a minute and turn to Luke chapter 17, beginning in the 17th verse. If the person next to you is looking a little sleepy, just nudge them and say, "Wake up." All right, I didn't hear too many of you all saying that, so hopefully everybody's woke on this morning. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read the 17th through the 19th verse, and it reads as follows. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "Jesus asked, 'Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And Jesus said to the man, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you.'" Jesus simply asked this man a question. He said, "Look, I know that I healed 10 men of leprosy, but my question to you is, why is it that only one has returned to say thank you?" When we look at our lives and we look at the situations that God has brought us from, How many times do we literally go back and say to God, thank you, Lord, for the things that you brought me from? Songwriter says, and people say oftentimes in church, that when I think of the goodness of God and all that he's done for me, that my soul cries out, hallelujah. That literally when you look at your life, do you look at the things that God has done for you in an attitude of thankfulness or in an attitude of I deserve to get what God has given me? Now, many of you, I'm not even going to ask you all to raise your hand because I'm sure many of you wouldn't be honest. But the fact of the matter is that many of us spend our whole entire lives feeling as though God owes us something. Why? Because we go to church on Sundays, because we go to a Christian school, because we're a pre-sem Christian ministry, youth men, biblical studies major, that entitles us to something from God. But literally, when we look at the fact that we are who we are by the grace and mercy of God, that tells us that everything we have belongs to him. That tells us that literally everything that God has done for us, every opportunity, every open door, everything that God snatched us out of when we didn't want to come out of it, is worthy of God's glory, is worthy of God's honor. And as I ask you all to turn to another portion of scripture, we're going to talk just a little bit on how literally everything in the world is the Lord's. The Bible says in the book of Psalm that everything is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, which literally means that I don't have room to think that I've made something happen on my own. That literally means that I don't have room enough to say that, God, I let this happen. I made this happen. In fact, I'm the one that deserves the praise for it. And you may say, no, that's not me, right? That's not me. I don't take credit for stuff. I don't give myself applause. But how many know that many times we live our whole lives looking for the approval and the applause of man? Looking for people to say, well done. Looking for someone to say, you did real well today. You did a good job. Not realizing that literally all of those capabilities that you have, all of those gifts and talents that you have come from the Lord. That as we reflect on the things that God's done for us, we should remember the fact that all of these things happened because of his grace. That all of these things that God has given us are because of his mercy. Will you take a minute and turn to the book of Deuteronomy with me? Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, we're going to look at briefly. And I love the way it words this because I believe that it really hits home for most of us. And as I said before, I'm not going to ask you all to raise your hand because I'm sure half of us in here wouldn't be honest about the fact of where we fit in this particular text that I'm going to read. But I want you to literally listen to it and see how it applies to your life, all right? I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse. And throughout today, as I talk about unthankfulness and how we should be more thankful, I'm asking you to just reflect over your life, take inward reflections over your life today and really think, Lord, I thank you for the things that you've done for me. And every area in my life that I fail to give you thanks for, every area in my life that I fail to give thanksgiving to you for, Lord, give me a heart that makes me thankful. Israel sings a song, and at the end of the song, he says, God, break my heart with the things that break your heart, which basically means, God, give me a heart after you. Give me a heart that gives honor and praise unto you when I think that it's me that's done something. Lord, give me an understanding to know that these things that I've accomplished, these things that I've gained, comes not from anything that I've done good, but by the goodness of the Lord. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse reads as follows. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, decrees that I am giving you today. Look at this, you all, verse 12. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery out of Egypt. Now you may say to yourself, now America, reflect in me? How can I take that and apply it to my life? I'm sure many of us can attest to the many things that God's done for us, the blessings, the opportunities, and once again, the open doors that God has given us. And this scripture literally says, look, When you become so full of all the things that God's blessed you with, when you become oh so prosperous, when the degree that you've gained from Geneva College has you to walk into a position that you receive a salary that you weren't even expecting, don't forget that it came from God. Don't forget the fact that not too long ago there were some things that God had to take out of your life just in order for you to give God praise. People often say, Lord, why do all of these things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people, right? But I heard Dean Smith say something real interesting last year. He said, the question isn't why do bad things happen to good people? The question that we should really focus on is why does good things happen to bad people? Why is it the fact that we get all of these things? I heard my amen corner. Why do we get all of these things and yet we don't deserve them? And not only do we not deserve them, but half the time we even say thank you for them. Why? Because we have a posture that says I deserve or I'm entitled to the things that God's given us. And as we read in that scripture in Luke 17, 11 through 19, he literally said, look, I'm just trying to figure out how do people become so not even in the understanding or not mindful of the things of God. What does the scripture say? What is man that they aren't mindful of him? What have we accomplished that makes us think that we can do it on our own? What is it that we've done that makes us feel as though we're entitled to the blessings of God? Because I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, I know that I'm full of imperfection. I know that the scripture says that all of my righteousness doesn't amount up to anything but a filthy rag, which literally means that there is no good thing that lives within me, which literally means that everything that I have is not because I deserve it, but it's by the grace and mercy of God. Can I get an amen? So as the scripture in Deuteronomy literally says, look, when God blesses you with all this stuff, when you getting some stuff that you don't even deserve to have, and I'm sure many of you can say, you know, you can look at your life and say, wow, I don't even really deserve to be getting them grades that I'm getting because Lord knows that I didn't study for that test the way I should, and I don't know how I got an A on it. That was God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm sure many of us can attest to sometimes when we got some good grades and we looking at it like, did they mark that right? Did they mark that right? Maybe they gave the wrong test to somebody else, you know? And those are literally examples that we look at of how faithful God has been to us, how good God has been to us, how gracious God has been to us. And I think that each and every day we should live our lives as living testimonies of what God has done. I just had one of those moments that said, are you serious? She know what I'm talking about in the front row. So in that, we realize that as we look at our lives, as we look at the things that God's done, I ask you, are you forgetting something? As you look at the things that you accomplished, for those that are seniors, for those that are preparing to graduate, are you thankful for where God's brought you from? Just a little bit about myself that I'd like to share with you, that I'd like to be very transparent before you with the things that God has brought me from. Because many times when I preach at youth services or women conferences or something, people look at me and they say, oh, she must be the daughter of, you know, past pastor's daughter or something. But part of what God has done for me is he has took me from two drug addicted parents and showed me how God can use anyone. I can literally stand before you today and go on and on about all the things that I've gone through in my life, about the self-esteem issues, about how it felt to not have consistent parents in my life, about how it felt in the places that I've been that you would have never imagined. But I stand here because God has been so good to me. I stand here because, as many people know, I talk about my grandma a lot. My grandmother has literally been like a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a best friend. And I acknowledge the fact in all that I do that I literally don't know where I'd be if it had not been for God's grace and mercy. I look at so many, praise God, I look at so many other people who have drug addicted parents. And I say, God, that could have been me. Now, you may not have that testimony. You may not know what it's like not to have consistent parents in your life, but I'm sure that there's a nice amount of people in here who didn't have consistent moms or dads or one or the other. but you're still here. You're still able to wake up each and every day in your right mind. You still wake up being able to accomplish the things that God has enabled you to accomplish. And because of that, God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Oh, yes, he is. He's worthy to be praised, y'all. Amen. So as I stand before you because I know what God can do. I know how God can take a situation that looks like no good, nothing can come out of it, and make something out of it. I know what it's like for God to take something where people count you out. It's not by coincidence my name is Miracle. When I was born, the doctors thought that I was stillborn. They thought that I was literally dead. They said there's no way that a three-month early baby, 1 pound, 6 ounces, could make it. There's no way she could make it. And you know what? If she does make it, she'll be 3 years behind, not being able to read, not being able to write. And they said all of these things, but how many know that God has the ultimate say? How many know that God can do things that we never imagined? God can take situations where man counts us out. God can take situations where we feel discouraged when we actually say, I can't do this, I can't make it. God has a way of saying, you can make it. Oh, yes, you can. You can go just a little bit stronger. You can go just hold on a little bit. Amen. So as we look at this and as we talked about the unthankfulness that many of us walk around with, look at your life and say, where would I be if it had not been for God? Where would I be if it had not been for his grace? Israel sings a song that says, it's your grace that restores. It's your grace that redeems. It's your grace that releases me to worship. This literally means that I don't even have a right to be able to lift my hands. I don't even have a right to be able to stand before you. But it's by God's grace and his mercy. Being thankful to God for the things that he's done has nothing to do with the things that he's done literally. And you may say, well, what do you mean? Giving thanks to God don't have nothing to do with the things that he's done for us, the blessings. What I'm referring to is the fact that we give God praise and thanks for who he is all by himself, y'all. Right. That it would be a shame. You know, you might have heard the song or the word that people say, when the praises go up, what happens? The blessings come down. Some of y'all know that when the praises go up, the blessings come down. But how many know that would be a shame if you're only praising God for the blessings that come down? It'd be a shame if we're only giving thanks to God, hoping that he'd do something more for us. But how many have a, what I like to call, a yet praise? That while I'm discouraged, when I don't know what to do, yet will I praise you. When I don't know how I'm going to get through this test, when I don't know how I'm going to get through this midterm, when I do not know how I'm going to get through this semester, yet will I praise you. Because we realize that we've come this far by God's grace, that we've come this far by the mercies of the Lord. Songwriter says that each day that I wake up, it's a new mercy that I see. Each time that I open my eyes, it's a new mercy. Each time that I'm able to lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, it's a new mercy. Because you do realize that you could be somewhere else in your life. You do realize that, right? You do realize that you didn't have to be accepted into Geneva College. You do realize that there's thousands of people that do not get accepted into universities or colleges. But you stand here and you sit here because God's been that faithful to you. So I ask you today, what's holding you back? I ask you today, what's in your life that causes you to forget where you've come from? I'm reminded all through the Old Testament where God continued to send messages to the children of Israel. Now, when you get to the promised land, don't forget where I brought you from. Now, when you walk into the territory that I promised you, don't forget the struggle it took for you to get there. Now, when I bless you with that husband, that wife, that car, that home, that career, don't forget where I brought you from. Don't forget that not too long ago, before you were saved, before you gave your life to God, before you became to turn your life over and to become a Christian, don't forget what you did 2 years ago. Don't forget the sin that many of us were stuck in. Don't forget. Because I tell you what, the day you forget, the goodness of God is the day you will no longer see that destiny that he has for you. The day you forget that you don't deserve to be where you are, the day that you forget that you don't deserve to be who you are, is the day that you won't even know that God has something so much greater for you. I say all the time with the people at Bible study on Wednesday nights, I say, if you forget that God has something so much greater for you and you become comfortable where you are right now, you'll stay stuck. You'll stay so stuck thinking that this is all there is to life. No. I don't know about you, but when the Bible says that God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine, I count that as a challenge. To think my greatest thought, to dream my greatest height, and to know that God can do greater things than that. To know that there are no limits to God. There is no boundaries to what God can do. And the only limit God has is the one you put on him. So I ask you today, what limits are you putting on God? What things have God done for you that you've forgotten? Because now you've become oh so educated, oh so dignified, that you've forgotten how to give God praise. That you've forgotten how to glorify God. Because I'm one that doesn't need music in the background. I can praise God all by myself. I can give God praise all by myself. Those that came from a Pentecostal church know that I can shout without a Hammond organ in the background, without no drums. Because when you literally think within your mind, God, you've been so good to me. God, you've been so faithful to me. Because as I said before, I have a testimony of where God has brought me from. I have a testimony of the things that I could have been caught up in. And I know that it's nothing good that I've done but God's grace and mercy. Will you stand with me all over this place? When we started out, we read Luke chapter 17. Verses 11 through 19 that talked about the healing of the 10 lepers. But the thing that we like to really point out is the fact that only one came back to say thank you. All 10 were healed. All 10 got what they were looking for. But only one came back to say thank you. So I ask you, will you be that 9 that don't come back to say thank you? Or will you be that one that says, if I have to stand all by myself, God, I'm serving you. If I have to let my friends go, I'm serving you. If I have to stop doing what I'm doing, I'm serving you. But what is it that keeps in your mind or keeps you from forgetting to give God thanks for the goodness of the Lord and the grace and mercy he's bestowed upon you? I'm going to say a quick prayer with you all. And I'm just asking all those that are really seeking and praying and asking God to give them a heart after God, that you just lift your hands. I'm going to pray. And as you lift your hands, it's just symbolic of I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with the prayer that you're praying. I'm in agreement with the fact that I want my heart to be more like the Lord's. I'm in agreement with the fact that I want my life to be pleasing unto God. So if you're standing there, I'm just asking you to just lift your hand. And as we pray, that's just going to how we close out, and then they're going to come, all right? All right, so with our hands lifted in agreement, those that are in agreement, God, I want my heart to be more like you. God, I want my life to look more like you. I want people to be able to see the Jesus Christ that lives within me. Bless the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Oh, God, we thank you for there is nobody like you. God, as we lift our hands in surrenderance unto you, God. We lift our hands in submission, for you are an almighty God. You are an all-knowing God. You are an omnipresent God. There's nowhere we can go that you're not there. So I ask you, even now, Lord God, as my fellow classmates, as my professors stand before you today, and as the other faculty and staff are gathered here today, Lord, we ask you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to help us look more like you, Lord. To help us speak the way you'd want us to, God. To help us live a life that's pleasing unto you. Lord God, give us a desire to sacrifice. Give us a desire to literally suffer for you just like Christ Jesus did for our sake. God, we lift our hands held high, Lord, for you're great, you're awesome, and you're mighty. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we make a declaration today, God. We won't forget where you brought us from. We won't forget about your grace. We won't forget what we used to be, oh God. We won't forget where you brought us to. But we declare on today, oh God, that you have greater things for us to do. We declare, oh God, that it doesn't stop at Geneva College, but this is only the beginning. Oh God, we declare that you are not confined to the four walls of the church, but you are a God that can move in a grocery store. You are a God that can move in a department store. Oh God, you are a God that can set people free in the middle of the street. And we declare, God, that that same power lives in us. We declare that your anointing shall rule, reign, and abide in our lives, oh God. We declare that if there be anything within us that does not look like you, purge us now, God. The things that don't look like you, the things that don't seem like you, and the desires that do not follow with your line, we ask you, oh God, to remove it now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, oh God, for my student body. I thank you, God, for my classmates. I thank you, Lord, for the professors. And I pray, Lord, that we would collectively come together worshiping you on one accord, giving you thanks and not having to have you or having to hear you ask us, are we forgetting something? Mm-hmm.